Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Follow the Minds of Madness on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. To listen to our episodes early and ad-free and get access to monthly exclusive episodes, go to patreon.com/madnesspod. You can also hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts for ad-free episodes. We've got links in our show notes.
The opinions expressed in the following episode do not necessarily reflect those of the Minds of Madness podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
There are a few sure ways to capture the attention of an entire room. You've seen it. Someone taps their glass with a knife at a wedding. The room quickly falls silent and turns to the person about to propose a toast. The military method is much more direct. Whenever an officer walks into a room, someone yells, "Attention!" and everyone stands immediately. Parents, too, have their own methods. A loud whistle can cut through the most chaotic playground. Every kid knows exactly what that means. These gestures are universal. They pull focus, command respect, and, more importantly, shift the atmosphere of a room in an instant. At the Pint House Bar in Knoxville, Tennessee, the bartenders had their own special way of getting everyone's attention, especially if the night was particularly rowdy, which it often was. Grabbing a baseball bat that was always within reach, the bartenders would slam it against the bar top, the sharp crack bringing a sudden hush over the establishment. It worked like a charm. But one day, in December 2019, that bat mysteriously disappeared. Nobody knew where it could be. But ironically, the missing bat didn't grab anyone's attention at all. Join me now as we examine the horrifying case of Jennifer Paxton, a 36-year-old mother of seven who disappeared without a trace in 2019. You'll hear how Jennifer's battle with homelessness and addiction left her tragically exposed to two predators, and about the haunting details of her disappearance, and the horrifying moment 8 months later, when her body was found, frozen, inside a freezer. In the fall of 2019, 21-year-old Rebecca Dishman was struggling to find her place in the world. a young woman with a gothic style and childlike demeanor, Rebecca had difficulty maintaining steady employment or relationships. Up to that point, her life had been a series of false starts, tragedies, and disappointments. Her senior year at high school in Maryville, Tennessee, a small city just 30 minutes south of Knoxville, was marked by devastating losses. In 2016, her father passed away in a nursing home, followed by the death of her mother later that same school year. The specifics of their passing remain unclear, but the losses left Rebecca untethered and without stability. After graduation, she moved in with a boyfriend who'd promised to marry her, but their engagement didn't pan out.
I lived with my fiancé at the time, a couple years. My aunt and uncle, Bobby Brown and Carol Brown, took me in. Maybe a year, not for sure. They got tired of me, kind of just washed their hands of me, because I was with another fiancé and had decided to move in with him, and they weren't happy.
Before long, Rebecca and her new fiancé split as well, a pattern that repeated itself often.
I've been engaged 5 times, but I've lived with the 3 of them.
Just like a revolving door of fiancés and places to live, the same was true for Rebecca's employment history. She tried her hand at several minimum wage jobs, only to be fired from each of them. Then, she worked as a nursing assistant at rest homes, but failed an exam to become a certified nursing assistant. Rebecca was soon let go from that job as well. Now, she no longer had a job, any close relationships, or a consistent place to live. Desperate for stability, Rebecca turned to Facebook, where she encountered 51-year-old Sean Finnegan, a man 30 years older than her, and the head chef at a Knoxville dive bar called The Pint House. Within 2 weeks of their first interaction, Rebecca moved into Sean's apartment on East Fairview Road in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, another small city just west of Knoxville.
Our relationship was kind of fast, and within the 2 weeks, I decided to move in because the people that I was staying with, I felt like I was scared that they would end up kicking me out.
Not only was Rebecca desperate for a sense of stability, but her online conversations with Sean revealed they shared a mutual interest and experience in bondage and BDSM. The apartment Rebecca moved into was part of a larger house divided into 4 separate units, each with their own front door. Sean's unit had 2 floors, a kitchen and living room downstairs, 2 bedrooms and a bathroom upstairs. Sean's elderly and ailing mother, Frances, occupied one of the bedrooms. While living with Sean, Rebecca referred to herself as a stay-at-home girlfriend. She remained unemployed, but with her background as a nursing assistant, Rebecca helped provide hospice care for Frances. The arrangement seemed mutually beneficial. Rebecca gained the stability she craved. Sean had someone to care for his mother, and together, they could explore their shared sexual interests. But Rebecca's hope for stability quickly gave way to a darker reality.
At the beginning, I felt, comfort. The first couple weeks were okay, and was hoping that things would work out better.
One day, as Rebecca was showering, Sean discovered she'd forgotten to log out of her Facebook profile on his cell phone. Rebecca didn't have a phone of her own. While looking through her messages, Sean discovered that one of Rebecca's ex-boyfriends was sending her explicit photos, and it sent him into a rage.
I went to go take a shower, and that was our first argument. He pushed me, and that led to my first punishment. When I got out of the shower, he told me that, he wasn't happy with me, and there was consequences to that. Like, I had to have sex with him, and he tied my hands to the bed and scratched me down my back and made me bleed.
In their relationship, Rebecca had consented to certain punishments. As part of their shared interest in BDSM, Sean considered himself the master and Rebecca the slave. But according to Rebecca, it soon escalated beyond what she had anticipated.
He was a lot more aggressive than I thought he was gonna be. I wasn't expecting it to be as harsh as it was, the punishment.
As the weeks passed by, Sean found more and more reasons to punish Rebecca, and the punishments became increasingly violent and humiliating.
Anywhere from putting me in a dog cage and urinating on me, and climaxing, defecating on me, chaining me up with a dog chain, using box cutters on me, sodomizing me, using torch ladders on me, just very violent punishments.
Despite the abuse, Rebecca stayed with Sean. The couple also developed a routine of picking up female sex workers for threesomes. And keep in mind, this was all happening while Sean's elderly mother still living in a bedroom down the hall. In December 2019, Sean Finnegan brought home 36-year-old Jennifer Paxton, a transient woman battling addiction who occasionally turned to sex work for survival. Jennifer was familiar with the Pint House Bar, located near a homeless encampment where she often lived. Jennifer occasionally stopped in at the bar to use the restroom. It's believed that it was during one of those visits she first met Sean, the bar's head chef. The details of their initial engagement remain murky. It's unclear whether Sean offered her a warm place to stay, as he'd done with Rebecca, or if the agreement was more transactional, offering her money in exchange for participating in sexual activities with him and Rebecca, something they'd done with others before. Whatever the terms were, Jennifer accepted. Around the same time, the baseball bat behind the bar at the Pint House mysteriously went missing.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Jennifer Gill Paxton was born on May 7, 1984, in Knoxville, Tennessee. Her mother, Patty, became a mother at 15 years old, and Jennifer's father soon disappeared out of their lives. Because of this, Jennifer's extended family played a central role in her upbringing.
Patty was desperate for Jennifer not to make the same mistakes that she did herself, like becoming a mother at just 15 years old.
Patty's first cousin, Michelle McMahon, part of the close-knit family that helped watch over Jennifer, describes the dynamics between Jennifer and her mother.
Because of this, she was way too hard on Jennifer, not allowing her to have normal friends. She wasn't allowed to play in the neighborhood like her brothers or hang out with others after school, unless it was with family. This is why Jennifer so lovingly clung to her grandmother. She felt loved with her. She was allowed to be more of a child, the normal life, when she was with her. So naturally, Jennifer had more of a mother-daughter relationship with her than she did her own mom.
While spending nearly all her time at her grandmother's house, Jennifer's closest friend was her cousin Brittany Payne.
My grandmother pretty much raised her, which is why she called her mama. We had a pretty decent relationship.
It was very interesting. It was fun. She was always whatever. She just made people laugh. Did whatever she could to make people happy. We pretty much grew up together.
Despite her mother's hopes that Jennifer wouldn't repeat the same mistakes she had, Jennifer became a mother herself around the age of 15 or 16, and by the time she was 28, had 7 children in total. Somewhere along the way, Jennifer started using drugs, which is when her life began to spiral into addiction.
She went down a wrong path in life, and she started using heroin. She just wasn't there in her head anymore. She would usually bum money off of our grandmother, and where she would get money off me, she would also prostitute to get money.
Jennifer's struggle with addiction led to an intervention by Child Protection Services, and eventually, all 7 of her children were removed from her care. According to Jennifer's cousin Beverly, that's when things for Jennifer only got worse.
After she lost her children, Jennifer struggled with drugs and drinking.
Jennifer then started living in various homeless encampments in Knoxville, which led to a transient lifestyle and numerous run-ins with the law.
I'd be okay if she was in jail. We knew that she was safe and off the streets if she was in jail. Jennifer would always come to my house and get money from Mom, third of every month, because that's when Mom would get her Social Security. I don't know that my mom knew that she was doing any drugs.
Jennifer's monthly visits to her grandmother's house on the third of every month became the family's only real-life in-person contact with Jennifer. But whenever she was at an establishment that had free Wi-Fi, Jennifer kept in touch through Facebook. Her family tried many times to get Jennifer to return home permanently, but according to her cousin Brittany, Jennifer wasn't ready to come home yet.
She preferred it that way. Like, I've tried to get her to stay with me. I know family has tried to get her to stay with them. She just didn't want it. Anybody in our family would have took her in.
Like many families of those battling addiction, her loved ones walked a fine line between offering support and enabling destructive behavior. Still, no matter how far she strayed, Jennifer's family remained ready to help whenever she needed them.
She was a little bit of here and there. She was homeless at the time. She was living in a tent in the woods. The last time I spoke to her was before Thanksgiving. And she had asked me for like $20 to get her something to eat for her and her boyfriend. I had met her at the Walgreens behind on Chapman Highway, and I gave her the $20. It was the last time that I had seen her.
After Thanksgiving and into December, Jennifer communicated less and less with her family. Eventually, communication stopped altogether. Around Christmas 2019, Brittany posted on Facebook that Jennifer's family was actively searching for her.
We got online, we searched police stations, hospitals. We was told that she was in a rehabilitation somewhere in Nashville, which I assume either she did go or it was a lie.
Jennifer's Aunt Beverly was one of the family members who helped organize efforts to search for her.
When Jennifer went missing, we all looked all over town for her. Gail, Mill Mill, David, and Brittany looked on the south side of Knoxville, and the rest of us took the north side. We looked for her not just for a day or two. We looked for her for months. Day after day, her grandmother who she called Mom, would call me almost every day to ask if I had seen Jennifer. It was so hard on us. We knew Jennifer wouldn't go for days and not contact me or one of us.
It was Jennifer's mother, Patty, who officially reported Jennifer missing. Using their resources, police were able to track down the last known interactions she had with law enforcement.
I would go through different databases that we had access to at the police department to determine if anybody else had seen Miss Paxton or had any contact with Miss Paxton from the time in which she was last seen by her mother until the time in which we received the report. November the 27th of 2019 was an outstanding warrant where she was out at Knox County intake. She was released on December the 3rd of 2019. And then the Knoxville Police Department had contact with her on December 23rd of 2019 by an officer who had answered a call for service where there was an individual that was dancing around in circles and appeared to be on some type of or under the influence of something.
After this sighting on December 23rd, neither the police nor Jennifer's family saw her again, and months passed by without any word. Winter turned to spring, and spring turned to summer. Jennifer was nowhere to be found. Directly across the street from Sean Finnegan's apartment in Oak Ridge lived a sociable neighbor named Mahogany Pico. She lived in a nearly identical four-unit apartment building to Sean, with her husband Colt and their children. Over the past year or so, she'd become casual friends with many of her neighbors, including Sean. When Rebecca Dishman had moved in the previous fall, Mahogany had become friends with her as well. Almost all of their social interactions revolved around smoking marijuana together. Several times each week, the three would either gather at Sean's house or on Mahogany's front porch. As 2020 progressed, Mahogany started noticing troubling signs in Rebecca's appearance. The young woman often had bruises, which Mahogany initially attributed to the couple's known sexual proclivities, a topic Rebecca was never shy about discussing. But as the injuries became more frequent and severe, Mahogany's concern grew.
I seen her again and she had had a black eye and her glasses were broke because he had hit her in the face. I wanted to get her help, get her out of there. I tried to contact her family members on Facebook. No response from any of them.
When Mahogany became certain Rebecca was involved in a physically abusive relationship, she enlisted the help of her husband Colt to locate a woman's shelter that would take Rebecca in. But they got the same response from every shelter they contacted. They were all full. Colt had avoided socializing with Sean and Rebecca as much as possible. Even so, he'd seen enough of Rebecca to know she was vulnerable and needed help.
She was simple, kid-like. She dressed kid-like. She'd be excited about stuff my kids would be excited about. She just didn't have your typical adult. She was just very simple. She would cling to anybody that gave her attention, that was nice to her. I had a friend that was staying with me, and he would just be nice to her in passing. She would get giddy.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Finally, on August 5th, 2020, Colton Mahogany found a shelter that had room to take Rebecca in, as long as Rebecca was willing to come voluntarily. So that evening, after Sean went to work at the Pint House, Mahogany decided to act. She approached Rebecca and offered to help her leave Sean. To Mahogany's relief, Rebecca agreed.
I was going to borrow a buddy of ours' car, and I was going to drive her to the police station first. The lady from the Women Abuse Shelter was supposed to meet her there so we can get an order of protection, and then she would go with Rebecca to the shelter.
While Mahogany and Rebecca packed her belongings into garbage bags, Colt was loading things into the car when he heard shouting from the upstairs window. It was Sean's mother, Frances.
She was screaming out the window saying she was calling Sean.
Realizing they'd been caught in the act, Rebecca and Mahogany raced off in the car toward the police station. Meanwhile, at the Pint House in Knoxville, Sean received the news from his mother that Rebecca had left.
Shortly after that, Sean come pulling in the driveway like a madman. He knocked on my back door and asked me where she took her and told me that I ruined his life and that I had no right to get involved. Basically, I told him he could go back to his apartment. I don't know where she took him or took her, and he told me that he would kill me.
Colt immediately called the police, who quickly arrived outside his front door. Police then spoke to both Sean and Colt about the altercation. Ultimately, police decided they didn't have grounds for an arrest, and Sean was allowed to go back into his apartment. But as the squad cars pulled away, several unmarked police vehicles replaced them and discreetly posted themselves around the area to surveil Sean's apartment. The reason they decided to keep an eye on Sean that night was because Rebecca had already reached the police station and started talking. And what she told detectives went a whole lot farther than an abusive relationship.
I received information that this man had killed this woman and that he had choked her. Information that possibly hit her with a baseball bat. and had kept her captive, killed her, and locked her up in a freezer.
The accusations that Rebecca was making against Sean were horrific, shocking, and frankly, a little hard to believe. But when she told detectives the victim's name was Jennifer Paxton, everything changed. After running the name through their system, they discovered Jennifer had been reported missing 9 months earlier. According to Rebecca, police would find Jennifer's body hidden inside an upright freezer in the closet of Sean's upstairs bedroom. Because Rebecca's statements were linked to a known missing person, the police were able to secure a search warrant for Sean's apartment. On August 6th at 4:30 a.m., Oak Ridge police executed the warrant. Detective Alan Moore was among them.
Mr. Finnegan's downstairs, standing in front of the couch in the living room with his mother. I advised him the reason why we were there, and I provided him a copy of the search warrant. I told him I was there to look for the body, deceased person. I actually asked him, I said, why would anybody make the accusation that there's a dead body in here? And he told me that he didn't understand why somebody would make that comment.
Despite Sean's insistence to the contrary, police began their search.
First, they went upstairs to the bedroom where the body was supposed to be at. And upstairs, they did locate the upright freezer, but there was no one. There was not a body inside. There was a pizza box in there.
Along with the pizza box were several frozen burritos. It was looking like Rebecca had been telling them tales.
I just sat there for a minute, and because the house was just so immaculate, or it was pristine, everything was very organized, well kept, tidy, and I just looked around and just observed the room. And I turned around and looked at the bed, and what was so odd to me was there was something protruding under the bed on the left side. Curious, so I knelt down, got beside the bed, lifted the cover up, and I seen this, it was like a gray light cover, and then I kept looking up under, and I touched it, put my hand up under there. I said, oh man, that's cold.
When Detective Moore said cold, he didn't mean room temperature cold. He meant it was ice cold, like it had been just taken out of a freezer.
And it was a black plastic bag, and it was cold to the touch. I yelled out to the rest of the team. I said, I think I found her. Here she is. We pulled up the mattress, and there she was. There was a naked woman with a plastic bag covering her lower portion.
It was Jennifer Paxton. And to Detective Moore's horror, he noticed her nose had been cut off. The chief medical examiner soon discovered the shocking extent of the injuries to Jennifer's body.
Although there were many different types of injuries on Jennifer's body, the main cause of that was actually strangulation, asphyxia due to strangulation, and the type was actually ligature strangulation. So as far as strangulation, that was definitely what we say ante mortem, meaning she's alive when strangulation occurs. The manner of death was homicide. There was actually blunt force injury, laceration on her forehead, one on the forehead and one actually on the back of the head. The number of wounds actually was too hard to count. There were multiple, and most of them appear to be what we call perimortem or postmortem. Perimortem means that happened as she was dying, and then postmortem says, well, that happened after she was already deceased and there was no more circulation in the body.
The examination revealed that Jennifer had been brutally beaten, cut with a knife multiple times, and then strangled to death with a ligature. It also revealed that many of the wounds had been made after she died, and some of them long after. The examination revealed that Jennifer had been tortured, murdered, mutilated, and that her corpse had been abused over the course of many months. The findings confirmed what Rebecca Dishman had told detectives at the police station.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
According to Rebecca, she was making her bed one afternoon in December when Jennifer suddenly appeared in the apartment. Rebecca hadn't been expecting anyone, and Sean never told her he was inviting anyone over.
I didn't know the woman, and Sean later came in and introduced us together. She made breakfast and asked to take a shower, and once she went to go take a shower, Sean asked me, "Do you want to kidnap her?" I knew that I had no say-so really in the matter. He controlled the house, and anything I said, even if it was a no, that it wouldn't have mattered anyways.
Kidnapping a woman was something Sean and Rebecca had discussed previously, but according to Rebecca, she'd never taken it seriously. It wasn't long after Jennifer got out of the shower that Sean made his move.
He walked her over towards the back door and was showing her a baseball bat, and then he started hitting her over the head, and I went into shock, and he yelled at me to go upstairs because his mother was coming down for medication. She was upstairs, but she was in the process of coming down. I went upstairs, and I told her to stay in the room because I didn't want her to see what was going on.
It's believed that the baseball bat Sean used to strike Jennifer was the bat that had gone mysteriously missing from the Pint House bar.
By the time I got downstairs, they were fighting. Jennifer had the fire grate over her to protect her, and there was blood on the floor. I was in shock, and I approached slowly, and he told me to go into the kitchen and get the cleaning supplies. He told me to clean up the blood.
The attack on Jennifer had left her bloody, bruised, and stunned. But she was still alive. Together, Rebecca and Sean carried Jennifer upstairs into Sean's bedroom.
At one point, he told me to get on one side and he got on the other. Both of us went up the stairs with her and walked her to his bedroom. He went downstairs to clean up the blood and told me to watch her to make sure she didn't leave the room. He grabs her and chains her to the side of his bed and tells me he has to leave for work and kisses me goodbye and leaves me there with her and tells me not to leave the house, to keep her there if anything happens, to take care of it, like keep her from yelling to hurt her.
Rebecca stayed up with Jennifer all night while Sean went to work, and according to her, she felt bad for Jennifer and wanted to help her escape. The only problem was, Jennifer was chained and locked to the bed, and Sean had taken the keys with him to work.
I took a knife, like a kitchen knife, and tried to pop the locks, and I cut the zip ties off, and it led to Sean getting angry with me. He was angry. He was like, why the f*** did you cut her zip ties? She could have grabbed anything and stabbed you or hurt you. She could have got free.
Over the next several days, Sean and Rebecca kept Jennifer chained to his bed. Despite being in desperate need of medical attention, Sean and Rebecca raped her multiple times. Rebecca's descriptions of these acts are horrifically graphic, cruel, and unimaginable. By the third or fourth day, Jennifer was barely clinging to life.
One day, he came home from work, and he had bags that had shower curtains, washcloths, bleach, gloves, and things of that nature. And I thought it was for, you know, the house, but he was carrying it upstairs, and once he carried it upstairs, I knew that he was gonna kill her. He had me go with him, and I came in, and he told me to lock the door, and as I walked in, he was straddled over her, strangling her with a shoestring, told me to help him, and I just shut down and sat on the bed and just gave up, essentially. He would start and stop, like take breaks in between, and he wouldn't allow me to leave the room for hours. She takes her last breath and she just dies.
Shortly before murdering Jennifer, Sean had ordered an upright freezer from a local rental company. The freezer was delivered on the morning of December 28th.
We brought her downstairs and put her in a freezer downstairs and blocked it from people getting in. Like, the door was faced towards the stairwell. At one point, he was scared of someone going in the freezer, and we took her body out, carried the freezer upstairs, then carried her body upstairs and put her in the closet.
For the next 8 months, Sean and Rebecca kept Jennifer's body in a freezer in their bedroom. Rebecca claims that on multiple occasions, she witnessed Sean abusing the corpse.
There was one or two times that I caught him masturbating to Jennifer. It freaked me out. I ran downstairs and was almost outside of the door, but he yelled at me to get back inside.
Meanwhile, Sean's violence toward Rebecca increased as well. Fortunately, her neighbor Mahogany noticed the signs.
She was noticing the bruises on my eyes, and she knew that something wasn't right because she kept asking me, Rebecca, what's wrong? What is he really doing to you? At first, I was hesitant, and she helped me call an abuse shelter. She helped me pack, and I got in her car and we left. So I broke down and told Mahogany the truth about Jennifer.
As Rebecca and Mahogany drove away from Sean's apartment, Rebecca told Mahogany the entire story. Mahogany immediately reported everything to the police, and Rebecca was arrested and taken into custody. Hours later, detectives discovered Jennifer's body and arrested Sean as well. He was taken down to the station where he was questioned by Detective Ewer.
The first thing that he said to me was that he had met this girl where he worked at the Pine House in Knoxville, and she agreed to go back to the house with him, said that she willingly came back to the house, and said that they had had sex upstairs in the bedroom, and he needed to use the bathroom and urinate, and she wanted to take a shower and get cleaned up. And while he was urinating, she had went back downstairs naked. When he came down the stairs, he heard screaming, and he initially told me that Rebecca had hit her with a baseball bat.
According to Sean, Rebecca attacked Jennifer out of jealousy. Irate, he'd been with another woman without her.
And then he said he flipped out and says, "What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?" Then he told me that Rebecca cleaned up the blood from where she was hit in the head with a baseball bat, and that the girl just voluntarily walked up the stairs, passed his mother back up into the bedroom. He initially said that Rebecca had chained her up. He said that Rebecca chained her to the bed, but that he had tied her up using strings that he had laying around the house. He later said about the chain that he allowed Jennifer to go to the bathroom. And then he said that Rebecca told him to put the chain back around her neck. So he wrapped the chain around her neck, but he indicated that Rebecca was the one that put the lock on it.
Sean adamantly denied he was the one who killed Jennifer. Instead, he blamed Rebecca, insinuating she was the ringleader of the abuse and murder. Afterward, Sean claimed he panicked and helped Rebecca cover it up.
He said that he got rid of the clothing, and I asked him, was that because it was evidence? He said yes, he didn't want to get in trouble. He didn't want to go to jail. He said he got rid of the baseball bat, and he said it was long gone. He got rid of it early. He said he rented the freezer and had it delivered to his house. I found it a bit odd that you have a freezer delivered to the upstairs bedroom closet, but that's where he said he needed to put it so his mother wouldn't see it.
After Sean's arrest, police looked more closely into his background and discovered a twisted pattern. 5 years earlier, in 2015, an unidentified woman made a frantic and disturbing report to Knoxville police, claiming she'd just escaped from a man who'd kidnapped and raped her. That man was Sean Finnegan. The woman had been severely beaten during her 2-day captivity and claimed the only way she was able to escape was by suggesting to Sean they return to her house. She suggested they could pick up the woman's 11-year-old daughter for him to abuse as well. Apparently, Sean believed the offer was sincere. Instead, it was a ruse. It was during the return trip to the woman's house that she'd somehow managed to escape. Sean was then arrested and charged with aggravated rape and kidnapping. The county sheriff reported finding evidence inside Sean's house that corroborated the victim's story. But here's where it gets a bit mysterious. For unknown reasons, Sean was never convicted of these crimes. In fact, the Blount County Sheriff's Office seems to have lost all records concerning Sean Finnegan. The only remaining records of these charges anywhere is on a database in the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations. Little else is known about the alleged crime, but because there was never a conviction, none of this information would be presented at trial. Initially, both Rebecca and Sean pleaded not guilty to Jennifer Paxton's murder. For years, Rebecca continued writing love letters to Sean while she sat in prison awaiting trial, signing her letters "Baby Girl" and adding "P.S. I love you, Daddy." Due to the heinous nature of their crimes, The state of Tennessee announced they would be seeking the death penalty against both of them. Almost immediately after this announcement, Rebecca changed her tune and accepted a plea bargain. In exchange for taking the death penalty off the table, Rebecca pleaded guilty and agreed to testify against Sean. She was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
In August 2024, Sean was put on trial for Jennifer's murder. On the very first day, Rebecca was put on the stand to tell her side of the story. She was demure and soft-spoken and presented herself as feeble, helpless, and utterly powerless. But the prosecution made it clear that they held her equally responsible for what had happened.
She is not an innocent victim in this. She was engaged, but that does not mean that she had the same level of control. But the fact is, they're both in for penny, in for pound. What the two of them did together is kidnap, rape, beat with a bat, hold hostage, and murder Jennifer Paxton. Her corpse was abused. She was frozen and kept in their bedroom for 8 months. That's not in dispute.
The prosecution contended that both Rebecca and Sean had deliberately selected the most vulnerable victim they could find.
Who else would be easier to kill than that? If they're an addict, they're going to be doing things risky to feed their addiction. If they're homeless, nobody's going to miss them. And add to that, they're a prostitute. They have to get in vehicles and go dark places where the police aren't, and they have to expose themselves and take their clothes off and be the most vulnerable human being on the planet. Jennifer was his perfect victim. She's the easiest person he could find to kill because of who she was. But she was still loved.
They also stressed that Rebecca continued living with Sean for months after Jennifer's murder. Rebecca herself was never locked up, never confined, and could freely come and go as she pleased.
This woman had been defiled, beaten, stabbed, raped, and choked, and he slept 8 feet from her for 8 months. This woman in his freezer was his trophy. That's what she was. That's why they kept her. As a trophy and remembrance of what they did. And think about how you observed her body when when she was discovered stripped of her breasts exposed, her breast cut, her nose cut off, defiled.
The strongest argument for the prosecution against Sean was that the jury could still believe Sean's version of events and find him guilty.
He says that, yes, that all occurred, but it was Rebecca that did it. He says that Rebecca's the one swinging and wielding the bat. Even let's take his statement for absolute truth. If we took it for truth, my girlhood with a bat, I chained her up. I put the chain around her neck. I didn't know what to do. I was going to nurse her back to health and then free her. And then a killing occurs. He says it doesn't occur in his presence. The judge is going to read you the law. It doesn't have to occur in his presence. If he's part of the kidnapping and puts the chain around her neck, he's guilty of kidnapping, and a killing occurred during that commission of that kidnapping, and he is guilty of felony murder on his own statement.
After closing arguments, the jury deliberated and returned a unanimous guilty verdict. Ultimately, the jury recommended Sean be put to death for his crimes, a sentence that Rebecca was only spared because she cooperated with the state. In another horrible twist to this already twisted story, Rebecca and Sean have now been indicted on other charges. According to the indictment, they are being charged with rape and exploitation of a child under the age of 3. The indictment alleged the offenses occurred in May 2020 and that they, quote, did promote, use, assist, and permit a minor to participate in the performance and in the production of material, which included said minor engaging in sexual activity. Due to these crimes, including Jennifer's murder, Sean and Rebecca have established a pattern of targeting extremely vulnerable victims. Because of this, there remains much speculation that Sean and Rebecca may have additional unknown victims that have yet to be discovered. For the family of Jennifer Paxton, Sean's trial was the end of a terrible ordeal that began 4 years earlier when Jennifer disappeared. During this time, Jennifer's mother, Patty, passed away and never got to see Jennifer's killer brought to justice. Before she died, however, Patty asked her cousin, mother, and aunt to attend every day of Sean's trial. She wished the world would know that Jennifer was loved, is loved, and forever will be loved and missed. Jennifer's grandmother, Mildred, who'd raised Jennifer, was in the courtroom during impact statements. Jennifer's cousin, Brittany, read aloud a statement that Mildred had prepared.
Jennifer was my granddaughter. I loved her dearly. Losing her destroyed my heart. She was my everything. When Jennifer went missing, we searched everywhere for her. Not for days or weeks. We searched for 8 months. When Jennifer was found, sadly, it wasn't the news we were hoping for. When I learned of Jennifer's death, a part of me died as well. I struggle every day. The anger, the hurt, the despair is indescribable. The nightmares that I still live with to this day will not go away in this life. The only thing that helps me get by from day to day is knowing I'll be with her again one day in heaven.
Follow The Minds of Madness on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To support the show and get access to ad-free episodes, extra content, and Patreon-exclusive episodes, go to patreon.com/madnesspod. To find us on Instagram and Facebook, search The Minds of Madness, and on Twitter using the handle @madnesspod. And also, by checking out our sponsors and using our promo codes, you're also helping support the show. We've got all the links in our episode notes. So until next week, thanks for listening.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.